Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for the new screensavers is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
The new screensavers is brought to you by Braintree. Mobile app development can be complex, but integrating your payments no longer has to be. With Braintree, your business can accept nearly every type of payment from any device with one easy integration. Learn more at BraintreePayments.com/NSS.
Looking for another Earth? Doggy Tech and Linux making your laptop new again. Live from the Twit Brick House in beautiful downtown Petaluma, it's the new Screensavers.
For April 30th, 2016, Martin Sargent, Television's Martin Sargent.
Hey, everyone.
Nice to see you. Yes.
I'm ready to be here. I have really been, I've been studying up for this. I'm going to flex my tech. I got some top tech advisors working for me now. Top guys.
Nice.
Phil Gates.
Phil? Yeah.
You know him?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. The Phil and Shenanda Gates Foundation.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Gary Gellison.
I love him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's kind of a weirdo, mean.
Yeah. Anyway. He works for Schmoracle, right?
Kevin Rose.
Kevin, I've heard of him. Him I know.
He wasn't doing anything better.
That's so funny. Well, it's so good to see you,
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Marty decided to bring some show and tell.
Recently. I moved to Oakland.
Yeah.
And that's how you know it really is hip now.
Yeah. Look at that.
All my old
this is what
that's
this is
my
when
first ZDTV headshot.
This is when Marty was a heartthrob. Yeah. Look at you.
Look at that. And now I use it on my laptop.
When people ask for your autograph, did you write, "Hey, girl"? Oh, look. It's, "Hey, girl." "Hey, girl." It's Marty. Hey. Hey, girl.
Let's go computing.
Yeah. What's on your laptop, girl? All right. What's this one? Is this later? Are these in chronological order?
That's
on the screensaver set. Yeah.
It says Martin right there on
the. They pre-printed it? Yeah,
really.
Look at that.
You're going to have to go through all these. There's a million.
Oh, I see. On the refrigerator.
So many
you know, we
over.
Sold this refrigerator for charity.
Really?
Yeah. Somebody on eBay.
Did it come with Perillo stuff to it?
Yeah. Remember that? He fit in there. We stuffed him in there once. That's why they called him the locker gnome. And the LNX, the Linux bumper sticker.
That was my favorite.
Oh, my God. Was this a boy band you were in? What the hell?
That was taken. Jeez. Remember the door outside the ZDTV studio?
Yeah. You see, does it kind of look like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Dave, we got a little more of that.
Dave, I think it's Rubin took that.
Oh, Dave Rubin. I like Dave. He was kind of a squirrely fella, but he got all the girls loved him.
He was a great editor.
Yeah, very good.
All
editor.
The girls. No, he.
I don't
no,
know.
No, he didn't.
I have.
He was always bemoaning the fact that he was single. That's
my memories are a little twisted of the whole thing. I wasn't there, really. Here you are with Michaela.
That's not Michaela.
Okay, here you are with some other woman.
Laura.
Laura, that's right, Laura.
From
like
Unscrewed.
I said. This is Unscrewed.
This is like everyone's so bored. It's like going through the family album.
No.
Like,
are you dreamy?
Guy?
Wow.
That's when I made it big down in Hollywood.
That's a very Hollywood headshot.
And that is the last anyone ever heard of
it. It's like you're peering around a door jam saying, "Hey, it's my turn? It's my turn now."
Yeah.
Look at that.
Let's go.
Good Lord.
Let's go to the Ivy.
This is G4 TV. They spent a lot of money on headshots.
I paid for these.
Wow. You clean up good, Marty.
Yeah, thanks. So, yeah, I got a lot of these, so if anyone wants one.
Is that when you were auditioning for the Facebook movie?
That's I've got awesome. A stack. There was a whole box.
Wow.
We had to move it all the way.
You have a ton of headshots.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, you know how many shows I had canceled?
You got to make a new one for every show, right? Yeah. Anyway, great to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to talk to an actual scientist a little later on, Dr. Steve Howells here from NASA.
I know. It's a super cool project.
Kepler.
He's working on Kepler.
Yeah. And also, I got an email from the owner of the Bubbly Paws Dog Wash in Minnesota, and he said, "You ever think about doing pet tech? I'm your man."
Yeah. That's a strong booking. Good job.
So we're it's like his audition.
Week. Yeah.
You can help.
I think it's going to be great.
Yeah. He sent us some bubbly paws.
Bubbly paws.
Dog stuff. Like, look at this. Dog beer.
Mm.
Porky Pup Porter.
Try it.
Yeah, it's Bowser beer. Now, you wouldn't feed alcoholic brew to your dog, because this is non-alcoholic.
Dogs love beer.
It's also no carbonation and no hops. Apparently, dogs get very angry.
What does it taste
at
like?
Hops. It's pork flavor with glucosamine to promote healthy bones.
What would if you like your dog's kosher?
When you want to try some? Here, wait a minute. Let's just see. I got to see.
Oh, yeah.
Oh! No, it's good. It's got glucosamine. It's good for your bones. It just tastes like flat beer.
I'm not. It's not because I don't want to drink it. It's because you put your lips in.
Somebody in the chat room said, if it had hops, it'd be for rabbits. Okay. Quick. This is for you. You like
there
that
you
a
go.
Little bit better, right?
Dos Equis.
And look at this. This is some sort of dog bondage.
Why did he send you a bottle of Dos Equis?
I don't know. That's funny, isn't it? I don't know. Maybe because he felt so bad about the dog beer.
I thought I was the most interesting man.
This is a nice... Wow, that is, I'd want to know your safe word before I let you use that.
Yeah.
That is heavy duty. That's for a big dog. I don't think I need that. This weighs more than Ozzy. I don't think I could put that on Ozzy in a nice collar, too. Anyway, thank you. We'll be talking in just a bit about pet technology with Keith. Thank you, Keith. Also coming up, a call for help. We like to do those. Which Linux version is right for you? Oh, good, more Linux stuff. But first, let's talk about the big news of the week. What's in there?
Water.
Okay. Jeez. You want some doggy beer?
No.
It's really good.
All right.
It's pork flavored.
All right. Drink the pork.
It's not bad. It's not bad. That, by the way, was not feigned. That is a genuine reaction.
What's the matter with you? You didn't actually drink that,
yeah,
did you?
I thought it was good.
Ah. Give this to the scientist.
Yeah, he'll drink anything.
That sounds like rocket fuel.
It is rocket fuel. Yeah. Pruno, they make this in prisons now. Big story, big story. Roe v. I never heard of them. You ever hear Roe v? They bought TiVo.
I love TiVo.
I love TiVo. Who's Roe v? Roe v, I guess, does the channel guides.
Wade?
Roe v. Wade, I know. Yeah. Roe v, R-O-V-I. Anyway, $1.1 billion. I hope they keep TiVo around. I guess if you pay that much money.
I think they are. In fact, I think they're changing their name to TiVo.
They are.
And I
That's
would
right.
if my name were Roe v. too.
Yeah. Roe v. Wade. You're absolutely right. That's the first thing that leaps to mind. I just bought two TiVos, and you know, you have to pay the subscription mm-hmm. for the guide, which I guess is what Roe v. does. And that was a lot of money. And I bought, of
Used
course.
Used to be $12
a month.
And how much is it now?
I think it's 15, maybe it's 12 still, but it's expensive. Or you can buy, and this is what I did, and now I'm starting to regret
deal.
It. Yeah, you pay like $300, you get a lifetime subscription.
Oh.
But now I'm thinking maybe it's the lifetime of the company.
Goodbye.
Those are expensive, but you know, they're so
they
much
are, but
better.
But they're the best.
Yeah,
one else has been able to replicate
we
that.
Have this crappy Comcast yeah. X1.
Oh.
It's horrible.
I don't have Comcast anymore, I don't have Dish.
Are you a cord cutter?
Sony View.
I never heard of
Sony
it.
Sony View. It's amazing.
Is it a set-top box?
It looks just like, you know...
It connects
like
to the internet.
Yeah.
Like a Roku.
Like a Roku. But it's got a DVR. It's all cloud-based.
Oh, that sounds nice.
I got all the stations. I can watch live baseball, anything. It's great. Sony View.
You don't have a cable subscription anymore?
Someone in my new building told me about it. You need fast internet. I've got 500 megabits per
wow.
second.
Wow. I'm going to get one of these.
You should. I don't know if you get it up in Petaluma. They're rolling it out city by city.
Okay. So you... Oh, yeah, VUE.
Actually,
oh, it's
they
you use
thin,
it with a PlayStation.
They have a thin version that I think you can get anywhere now.
It's says in three cities for $50 a month, 50 channels, CBS, Fox, NBC, USA Network, TBS, Fox News, Discovery. $50 is a lot.
The only thing you don't get, and this is a huge bummer, is PBS.
Yeah.
That is...
But you get sports, which is
mm-hmm.
pretty nice. Huh.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with that. You saw that the president and the FCC have decided to push this forward, the idea that the cable companies will no longer have a monopoly in the set-top box. They're going to force cable companies to allow you to use stuff like this with your cable subscription. And Comcast, of course, is up in arms. Everybody hates the idea. But who doesn't hate the cable box, right? They're the worst.
They're the worst. Who doesn't hate Comcast? They fired me. They canceled my
I don't like them either. I know. But they did pay for some nice publicity pictures. You got to thank them for that much, right? Those were good. That was nice. That's a good looking fella.
How could I not get a show?
I know.
God.
You know, if you had, like, if your name were Joey Fatone or something, I think you'd have a better
Martin Sargent is a damn good name.
No, it's a little too British.
It
sounds British. You should be Joey or Frankie.
Leo Laporte?
Yeah, that's fake, too.
Sounds French.
I know. Hey, yeah, well, what am I doing, right? What show am I on? Let's see. Google has now rolled out. Oh, there you go. Backstreet's back. All right.
See if you can find the email video.
Oh, that was great. The boy band. Yeah, no, we've played it on the show before. Yeah, we love it.
We don't want to.
We'll find it. No, I'll play it again. You can never get too much of that.
I think it's a good song. There it is.
Good night. And you're thinking that love's as slow as your dialing.
These are all. This is Tech TV. Did this, right?
AOL.com. My love's just a click away.
Oh, Lord. Isn't there a story, though, behind this?
So those girls right there, they're like from Sweden. They thought we were a real boy band. They actually wanted to see us signing autographs.
Nice.
That's why I got all these headshots.
Email.
The last time anyone ever wanted one.
Bye-bye, Marty. I love you.
You're in that video. You play a cameo.
I'm at the end. I have a little surprise.
The story behind it is that Greg Drebin,
our program director.
He hated it. He said it was the worst thing he's ever seen on television. That?
That's good. Awesome. That is so awesome. Skip to the end a little bit because...
You want to see... There he is.
There I am. I was one of your biggest fans.
We had fallen in love with someone in the chat room, and it turned out to be a dirty old guy, namely...
Leo. See, I really haven't changed much in those years. Oh, the good old days. Happy birthday, Claude Shannon. He is the father of information technology. He's the guy, Claude Shannon's the guy who came up with the idea of binary bits to represent data. He turns 1100100, which is 100. It's the 100th anniversary of his birth in 1960. He passed away in 2001.
Why can't they just say 100?
Because he invented binary, right? That's the...
There's only ones and zeros in 100.
but then he'd only be four. So that wouldn't see 100 is 4 in binary. So in order to say 100, I hate computers. What else? Oh, hey, big news. Here's a number, 419. That's how many members of the House of Representatives voted to require a warrant to read your email. See, it turns out, thanks to the Communications Act of, gosh, like 1995, your email was considered abandoned after 180 days. And those... I know. In those days, if the email was still on the server after 6 months, no warrant, it's still the law right now, no warrant is required to see your email. Law enforcement could just go to Google or Yahoo and said, okay, it's abandoned. We want to read it. Now, normally you think Congress doesn't really get this kind of stuff, but I realized, that's 419 members of the House who have old email they don't want anybody to read, right?
Exactly.
So they pass this unanimously. It's kind of, I can't think of, it's unprecedented that Congress, the members of the House, would 419-0 pass anything. But this is what they passed. It will go to the Senate, of course, where it's expected to pass handily, and then on to the president. So
that's incredible. That's the most bipartisan. I mean,
isn't that amazing? They all agreed. You know what? You really should have a warrant to read my mail. I think they took this personally.
I think you're right. Yeah. I've never deleted an email. I don't know about you.
Nobody does, right?
Why?
That was the whole premise of Google's Gmail when they started like 10 years ago. In fact, I remember them saying, never delete an email again. It's your database of everything,
exactly.
You know, who you talk to, what their...
That's my address book.
Exactly. So people don't delete email, obviously, and I'm thinking that members of Congress realize, oh, God, there's stuff in there. If anybody saw that, I'm in deep trouble. Would you like to do a call for help, Marty?
I would love to do a call for help.
All right. I think we've got a caller on the line. Let's do it. On the line with us right now, I don't know your name, sir. It's, who is this?
Jason.
Jason is on the line. Hi, Jason. Where are you calling from?
Hi, Leo. Calling from Manhattan, Kansas.
Nice to talk to you. There he is.
Hey.
So, Jason, tell us your question.
Well, I've been a long time Linux user. I grew up calling it Linux.
I know. I know. A lot Linux. Of people did. Yeah.
But I've got a handful of older computers, netbooks. We're talking Core 2 Duos, nothing really older than that. I've tried some of the slimmed-down versions of Linux, either Lubuntu or LXDE, mm-hmm. Even Puppy Linux. Now, Puppy's a little too techy. I'd like something that a slimmed-down version that'll run well. Looking to run Flash, DVDs.
Flash?
Flash, I know. Still trying to run YouTube.
Well, you don't need YouTube. Doesn't need Flash anymore.
That's true. You're right.
Yeah, I'm hoping that... by the way, who needs Flash? Twit.tv still runs Flash. Because we use a player. We don't have control of it that plays back Ustream and Bitgravity, and they're using Flash. Although they're moving away from it, as our providers do, I'm hoping we won't see Flash much longer. It's dying, as everybody knows.
As it should.
So,
but I'm looking for suggestions for something else that's maybe not something else, but a different spin of Linux that works well with older hardware,
yeah.
But not too techy. Something that I can put on it and basically hand to my mom. There's the kicker.
Unfortunately, this is almost a contradiction in terms, right? And I think this is kind of non-intuitive, but I've always said that the more a person is a novice, the better the computer they need, not the vice versa, because they're going to need more help, more handholding. I'm going to do a Mr. Scuzzy, if you don't mind. Remember Mr. Scuzzy?
Of course I remember Mr. Scuzzy.
You created him.
I did.
Martin Sargent used to be our explainer in chief. He'd come in. I think Mr. Scuzzy, hard drives in his coat?
I had borrowed Larry Wangberg's trench coat.
Yeah.
And had all these Scuzzy cables hanging. I was like, you want to buy a Scuzzy cable? That was it.
But for a long time on the Screensavers, you would explain how all this stuff
works. Right, but it wasn't always Scuzzy cables.
No,
it was all kinds of stuff. Very difficult
and
concepts.
To your credit, you would have the chalkboard, and you'd come in several hours earlier and draw a really elaborate, nice illustration.
That's right.
That is not what this is going to be.
As you can see,
I am starting with a blank slate, quite literally. All right? But let me talk a little bit about Linux, because I think we use this kind of generic term Linux for something that's really so much more. The only thing that's Linux is the stuff way down here. This is the kernel. And that's the stuff that Linus Torvalds wrote back in 1994 or 92 when he was a graduate student in Finland. He wrote the kernel and still maintains it. What's nice about Linus is even though he invented it, he didn't patent it. He didn't keep it to himself. He said he let the world have it. All he did was he trademarked the word Linux. So he is the official dictator for life of this term. And only Linus can say that something is or is not Linux. But what makes it Linux generally is this low-down thing that's in the kernel. Now, you're using this Linux kernel in more places than you might realize. A Chromebook is using Linux kernel. Android uses the Linux kernel. Oh. So the Linux kernel is quite ubiquitous, but it is not what makes a Linux distribution. On top of that, you're going to have, the process initializer and various daemons that are running on top of that. In fact, there's a big controversy right now in the Linux community over whether to use something called systemd, which most Linux distributions are using. That's on top of that. That starts processes like your server, your print drivers, things like that. On top of that, there'll be some middleware, some system software. And then on top of that, there's applications. And then most importantly, what you're talking about, which is the desktop manager and the desktop environment. That's what you see. Normally, in fact, a lot of times when I'm working in Linux, I work in the terminal. I'm working in the command line, which is below that. So Linux is like the old days in Windows. Remember, in the earliest days of Windows, Windows 3 and Windows 95, Windows was this, and then they put a window manager on top of it. But you could always drop out into the DOS command. Mm-hmm. You were still running DOS. You know, that kind of is what this equals down here. So this is what you see, this is what your mom sees, is the desktop environment and the desktop manager. The desktop manager is what she logs in with. And there's a lot of different choices. This is what, basically, all of this is roughly the same weight. In other words, you're saying, I want something that runs on a lightweight processor. It's this that makes that difference, right? It's this that uses all the memory, all these CPU cycles, drawing menus, drawing windows, and all of that. And there's a whole bunch of them. There's the two big ones are the KDE environment and GNOME. And these are, GNOME was originally a protest to KDE. And now what's funny is people don't like GNOME. And so, of course, open source full of protests. There are responses to GNOME. One is called Mate, M-A-T-E. And this is particularly lightweight. Another one that's very popular right now is called Cinnamon. These are desktop environments. All of them sit on the same thing down here. But this is what Mom and you will see. That's the command line. That's the graphic user interface. So that's the windows. That's the menus. There are some of these that are more lightweight than others. GNOME is probably the heaviest. It's the one I use. Actually, GNOME 3 is really great. Mate has been based on GNOME 2.0. And the reason they did that is because it's a little bit lighter weight. GNOME, when it first came out, 3.0 was probably not very good. This is what's used in Mint. You probably heard about Linux Mint. This is all the rage now with the kids today because it reminds them of Windows. So they use Cinnamon on top of a Linux distribution, and it really is Windows-like. Here's the one I'm going to recommend for you. It's called XFCE. Now, the problem with this, and by the way, the distribution that runs on it is an Ubuntu distribution called Xubuntu.
Ubuntu.
U-B-U-N-T-U, or Shubuntu, or Xubuntu. I left out a U there. The XFCE desktop environment is very lightweight. The problem is the one that your mom wants is more heavyweight, is more like Windows, right? Or Macintosh. It's easier to use because it has icons and menus and desktop effects. But that's what uses all the RAM and all the processor power. So what are you doing right now? Are you kind of just booting into different ones, see what you like? Almost all of these allow you to do that with what they call the live CD, which actually doesn't have to be on a CD. It could be on a memory stick.
Actually, I'm using a UNET boot in to create live USB.
Yep. That's exactly what you do. In fact, if I had my man bag here, I have about 20 different distributions on USB sticks in my...
I think I only have five.
Why not, right? So you can try them all.
Zero.
None, really. You've settled. Which version of Linux do you prefer?
Ubuntu.
Yeah. Well, Ubuntu, by the way, uses something called Unity.
It's South African for humanity towards others.
I know. And it's, of course, African entrepreneur Mark Shuttleworth that created Ubuntu. Ubuntu's great. I'm not really crazy about Unity, and it's definitely not lightweight. That's why there's Shubuntu, which is the same. See, it's all the same Ubuntu stuff down here, but on top of it, a desktop environment that's fairly lightweight called XFCE. I would look at that one.
Okay.
And then the problem is people look at this and they go, oh, that doesn't look like Windows. It doesn't look like a Macintosh. Underneath, it's all the same. But it's just
a Mac almost.
Yeah. Well, actually, the Mac is based on BSD. Yeah. And it's very similar. It's a Unix-like operating system. Actually, it is Unix. So XFCE may not be quite to your taste. If mom or whoever is using it says, I don't like this, try Cinnamon. Cinnamon's pretty light. Now, I don't recommend Mint because the problem with Mint, really, Mint is just Ubuntu with Cinnamon on top, which actually sounds quite tasty. But the problem with it is the people behind Cinnamon have done some things that I'm not crazy about that I think make you a little bit less secure. In fact, they had a security problem on their own website a short while ago where people actually downloaded a modified version of Mint that had malware in it. That's been fixed. The problem is that in order to keep this all working, they have kind of blocked updates from upstream. And so you're not often getting the latest security things. What I would actually suggest you do, if you're going to try Cinnamon, is download Debian, right, which is what Ubuntu's based on. So it's kind of confusing. They took Debian, they put Ubuntu on top of it. Cinnamon took Ubuntu and put Mint took Ubuntu and put Cinnamon on top of it. But you can, if you download Debian and don't download the rolling version, download the stable version. You always want to download the stable version unless you're like a cutting edge kind of guy. Download Jesse, which is the current stable version. Right. And when you install it, you can choose the desktop environment on top of it. And Cinnamon is one of the choices. That's the best way to do Cinnamon. So Debian Jesse with the Cinnamon desktop environment. That's not too heavyweight. That should run on a cord, okay, too, I think. If you really need lightweight, XFCE is probably the best weight. Mate. I call it Mate because I think it's based on Herba Mate. I think it is. I don't think it's Mate. I think it's Herba Mate, you know?
All right, I'll give that a shot.
That's very lightweight as well because it's Gnome 2. And I think that's probably the next best easy to use. But so understand what you're asking for. This is all the same. You know, there may be some optimizations here, but it's essentially the same. It's the desktop interface on top of it that gets fat and heavy and bloated. And unfortunately, the ones that are easiest to use are often the most bloated. They have all the nice WYSIWYG features. That's why Windows is so bloated, because they put a lot of effort into the user interface, right, on top of what was underneath. So.
Well, thanks, Leo, for clearing that all up.
If only Mr. Scuzzy had come and done an illustration. I never was very good at this.
Mm-hmm.
But you get the... I think you get the idea of what I'm talking about here. It's a trade-off. And I love Cinnamon. I think that's the one that's going to make people happiest. People love it because it's very familiar feeling. If you need lightweight XFCE... And I wouldn't probably get Mint. I would get Debian with Cinnamon or XFCE. Cinnamon. You can do... By the way, all of these Windows managers will run on Debian. So you just choose the one you want. One more thing. Be careful. Once you choose one, you can, but it takes some expertise to move to another one. So if you choose a KDE-based desktop interface and you move to GNOME, now you got problems because you're mixing up different applications and stuff, and it can cause problems. So I would recommend doing what you're doing right now, which is trying different live interfaces till you find one you like and then install that one.
Okay, I've never downloaded or never tried just a base version of Debian, so I'll give that a shot.
Oh, I'm a big Debian fan. That's my favorite. Someday we'll talk about, though, the systemd issue, because Debian, unfortunately, about a year ago, decided to move to systemd, and a lot of people are very upset about that. But if you look around, the other thing about Debian is if you have drivers on your laptop that are what we call non-free, and by non-free I don't mean that you have to pay for them, but they're not open source. They're patented by Intel or... Realtek or Broadcom, there are Debian distros you can search for it that have the non-free drivers built in. That simplifies the installation quite a bit. Not that
kind. All right, Leo, I appreciate it. Yeah. Thank you very much.
It's like Windows Home, Windows Pro, Windows Starter. No, it's not like that at all. Hey, thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Wow.
I hope that helps.
Leo.
Will you let me know what you choose and why?
I will do that.
Send us an email, because I'm really curious what people are choosing.
Sounds good. Thanks.
There are lots of weirdo distributions that have design, like elementary.io, somebody in the chat room is mentioning, that are designed to be pretty. Make me very nervous. I would stick with the big flavors like Debian or Ubuntu and then try different desktop managers.
I'm really looking forward to that pet tech segment.
Next week, you know who's going to be here in your shoes?
No.
If you leave them here. It might be a little big. Kate Patello.
Whoa!
I know. So it's the one-year anniversary of the new Screensavers. This is episode 51.
Congratulations.
So yeah. Pretty happy. You've been on this, three times now?
This is my third.
Isn't that nice?
Yes.
We love having you on.
Thanks.
But it's also, and this, were you at the beginning with Tech TV?
Yeah. No, not the very beginning.
Not the very beginning.
I wasn't
beginning.
At the launch party with Devo and all that.
Right.
No, I came... Not long after, 98, I started.
We launched the first day on the air was May 11th, 1998. So it is the 18th anniversary of the launch of ZD. It was ZDTV at the time. And the old Screensavers launched May 11th, 1998. So Kate Patel will be here for the first anniversary of this show and the 18th anniversary of, because she was my co-host at the time, of the original Screensavers.
That's great.
Yeah, isn't that great? So we're flying her in from Traverse City, Michigan.
You're flying her in?
Yeah, we have to.
You didn't even pay for my
gas.
She
can't walk. I'll pay for your gas. Can we get a voucher for Mr. Sargent? Some sort of... we don't validate, though. Don't expect parking validation. Our show today brought to you... Actually, thank goodness we have great sponsors who pay exorbitant amounts of money for these fine ads, or we wouldn't be able to validate your parking. Braintree is our sponsor today. Braintree's great. If you're a developer and you want to put mobile payments in your app or on your website... You've got to know about Braintree. Braintree makes it easy. They allow your app to take every kind of payment, period, without any work on your part. I mean, it's literally 10 lines of code. The integration is simple, and you get Android Pay, you get Apple Pay, you get Bitcoin, you get credit cards, you get PayPal, you get Venmo, you get everything, and it's just built right in. And when a new form of payments comes along, it couldn't be easier. You open your Braintree clipboard, You check the box, and you recompile, and boom, you're done. Actually, I don't think you even have to recompile. I think you just the library gets updated, and you're done. You'll accept everything. By the way, every currency, too, from pounds to shekels. It is a fabulous system, and I'll tell you, you use it. You've already used it. Have you ever taken an Uber or a Lyft? They use Braintree. Have you ever bought a used one of those buyable pins on Pinterest? That's Braintree. That's their contextual commerce. It's so cool. Have you ever done Airbnb? Hotels Tonight, Braintree. GitHub uses Braintree. Everybody uses Braintree. Why aren't you using Braintree? Fast payments, security. Your customers will love it. It's easy for you. It's a no-brainer because it's Braintree. BraintreePayments.com/NSS. Try it today. BraintreePayments.com. BraintreePayments.com/NSS.
I'm going to pitch them now.
What's your favorite slogan that you've written?
That I've written?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Do you write slogans or copy? Or what do you do?
I write copy. I'm not a sloganeer. I'd be better at doing that.
Slogans are fun.
Yeah.
Except that then there's a lot of pressure because it's only a few words and you got to use it for years and you got to get it just right.
I'll get it just right. Don't worry.
Let's see. The search for Earth-like planets with Dr. Steve Howell from NASA Ames coming up. But first, you maybe have heard about this watching TNT. We're going to talk about it on Twitter. A little bit of a security kerfuffle about the Waze app. Is there anything to worry about? Megan Maroney has a story.
Thanks, Leo. There is an awesome scene in the first season of the excellent Aziz Ansari show, Master of None, on Netflix. It offers a spot-on depiction of the difference between walking home alone as a woman and walking home alone as a man. Stalking is real. It really happens. So when I read Kashmir Hill's article in Fusion this week about how researchers were able to stalk her over a three-day period when she was using Waze, I was very interested. Researchers at the University of Santa Barbara claim to use an HTTPS proxy as a man in the middle to intercept traffic between Waze and the server. So if a person was actively using Waze, so not in the background, but actively using it, it was possible for someone to track their whereabouts. After the article came out, Waze issued a statement refuting the claims of the researchers and of Kashmir Hill. They also pointed out that Hill had given the researchers her Waze username and her location. Waze says this, quote, greatly simplified the process of deducing sections of her route after the fact by using a system of ghost riders, end quote. Okay, so that sounds a little bit like she was asking to be stalked. I mean, she was asking to be stalked for research. But you know where I work? If I don't use a super secret Waze username, am I asking to be stalked? I don't think so. So Waze said in the statement that they have implemented safeguards as a result of the story in order to address the vulnerability and prevent ghost riders from affecting system behavior. But it's still better to be safe than sorry. One tip is to use an unidentifiable username. The other is to use Waze in invisible mode. To do that, just open Waze, tap your little Wazer, tap your name, and then tap go invisible. And that's all you need to do. That means your Wazer won't show up on the map and you will appear as offline to your friends and you won't be able to send reports or add or edit reports while using Waze. So, in other words, you might as well use Google Maps or Apple Maps or Here Maps or some other GPS app. Back to you, Leo.
I will still use Waze. Just anonymize your Waze. It's not a big deal. It's not hard to do. Just don't use your name. I love Waze. Dr. Steve Howell is here. He is at the NASA Ames Research Center. He was the guy who thought up, along with Bill Borucki, the Kepler project, pitched it to NASA.
Pitched it three times.
They didn't buy it at first?
Yeah. You know,
they have a limited budget, right?
They have a limited budget, and you have to sell a good idea. And it was doing something that was going to never be done before, and that's always hard. You got to convince them.
I've talked to the NASA director, and I know that they would love to approve every project.
They
if they had the budget, they would.
Yeah.
But you have to pick and choose. You can't do everything.
That's right.
So you got Kepler through. What is Kepler?
Well, Kepler, here's a little model of it, and I brought this along. This is just the base. You can hide that or something.
3D printed.
So there's a 3D printed model. You can
it's
bring
floating
this
in space, folks.
Soon you all can get access to these files, and you can print your own
really?
3D model.
Oh,
yeah,
how fun.
How cool is that? Yeah, it even comes apart. I won't take it apart right now. But so Kepler, I need the base back. Now. Or you got to play with the spacecraft.
It doesn't stand
it doesn't
on its own.
Yeah, well, so it's in space for real.
Is this a telescope? It looks like it might be a telescope.
It is a telescope. It sits on top of a spacecraft. Here, we'll actually take it apart. So this is the spacecraft part. It's very small. And this is the telescope part.
So there's thrusters in here to keep
thrusters,
it in position.
Thrusters, computers, avionics, the way we communicate with it, all the antennas, all that's down in here.
Is it an optical telescope?
It's an optical telescope. This is just the telescope. It has one instrument. It's a giant imaging camera that's kind of like the camera in your cell phone, but costs a lot more money and it's a lot more precise.
And what is it look? What frequencies, what wavelength is it looking
at? It looks in roughly the same wavelength your eyes see.
So it's like a Hubble, then.
It's like Hubble.
How is it different than Hubble?
Well, it's different from Hubble in that it sees a very large portion of the sky at once.
Hubble's got like a narrow field
Hubble
of view.
Sees a very small portion. The analogy is if you hold a pin in your hand at arm's length, Hubble sees about the size of the tip of the pin when it looks
well,
in the sky.
Anything.
That's right. Yeah. And Kepler sees about the size of your full hand at arm's length. So
and
it's
is,
very
it, is it moving sky. Around all the time, looking at different regions of the sky?
Well, it is now. So it's orbiting the sun. It's not orbiting the Earth. Hubble orbits the Earth. Kepler does not orbit the Earth.
Now,
it's,
the reason Hubble orbits the Earth is to get it out of the atmosphere. Why did
get
you
out of the
put
atmosphere,
Kepler
yeah.
over by the sun? Isn't that bright?
Well, it's not by the sun. It's orbiting the sun much like the Earth is orbiting
oh,
the
okay.
sun. It's in a similar orbit to the Earth.
Okay.
But
and why it orbited the sun?
If you orbit the Earth is a problem. The Earth gets in your way some of the time.
You
want to look
see
at
through it.
You can't
yeah.
see through it. The Earth has an atmosphere, which you're in, even though you're high
right.
above it. You're still in sun. The Earth has magnetic fields, has the Van Allen belts you've heard of. Those are radiation events that you pass through. So orbiting the Earth is not the greatest place for a telescope. Orbiting the sun is wonderful. You're away from the Earth. You're away from all the disturbing forces.
Right. And while it's in that space, in the orbit, it's not blocked by the sun. It can see almost everything except
that's right.
for that small area,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. yeah.
So what is Kepler looking for?
Kepler's looking for planets that orbit other stars. That was the primary mission. That's what the big selling point was. And in particular, not just any planets, but planets that are the size of the Earth that orbit stars like our sun. These are going to be things that we wanted to find that are similar to our Earth.
When did Kepler launch?
Launched in 2009.
So it's 7 years ago. How long did it take to get in position?
Not very long, a few months.
Okay. So it's been out there for almost 7 years
That's
looking
right. yeah.
at space. And have you yeah. found Earth-like planets?
Why? Funny you should ask that question.
Well, I'll tell you why I ask. I remember talking maybe 20 years ago.
Yeah.
To space scientists who said someday we might find planets,
yeah.
let alone Earth-like planets. We only 20 years ago didn't even know yeah. if there were planets.
Isn't that
than
amazing?
Our solar
it's
system.
A very young field in astronomy.
Yeah. yeah. So this is very early on. You said let's go look at planets, and why yeah. Earth-like planets?
Well, we, you know, humans forever have wanted to know if we're alone in the universe. Are there other things like us, other life at all? And we
right.
believe in our solar system, there probably isn't any. I think that's not 100%.
Maybe signs included. Of old life.
But maybe old life or maybe small things, but yeah. probably nothing like a human.
I think we would know by now.
You would think so, right? Yeah.
yeah. yeah.
So all those movies we've seen, they're probably not really true.
No Martians.
Yeah, so we want, you know, it's just a fundamental question. And you also want to know if our solar system is common or our solar system is just a one-off.
And I guess the thinking is, well, if Earth had the right temperature, the right mix of chemistries, the right distance from the sun,
yep.
the right periodicity, the right gravity to create us, that an Earth-like planet would be more likely to have life? Is that
yeah,
right?
That's the idea. We believe that liquid water on the surface, so you have to have a surface.
Yep.
Jupiter, for example, has no surface.
It's a gas giant.
Yeah, you
Nothing
can't have
there.
Liquid water on its surface. Yeah. So we believe you have to be rocky, you have to have a surface, you have to have the right temperature, probably an atmosphere.
What's the range of temperatures?
In our solar system, or the range that's used, it's called the habitable zone.
Mm-hmm.
It's a range that's the range where you believe liquid water would exist on the surface. So it's somewhere between the freezing point of water and the boiling point of water.
That seems
it's
like a
simple
reasonable
definition.
Range. Yeah,
right? It's a reasonable
yeah,
definition.
Yeah. We wouldn't be able to see life if we're looking at
we
these
wouldn't.
Planets.
No.
You don't see it that clearly.
No, what we detect, we don't even see the planet at all. What we detect is a small drop in light when the planet passes in front of the star it's orbiting. So some planets have orbits that orbit around their star and never cross the line of sight between our telescope and their star. So it's only those very few percent, about 1% of all the planets, that line up exactly at the right angle. So when our telescope looks at that star, we see the planet pass in front of the star. The light from the star drops a very small amount, but we can measure that drop.
And what can you tell from something so simple?
What we can tell from that is we can tell, depending on how large the drop is, we can tell how big the planet is.
Okay.
Depending how long the drop lasts, and when we see it again and again and again, we can tell the orbital period of the planet.
Okay.
Then using Kepler's laws, as we talked about earlier, you can do some calculations and find out the orbital period of the planet and how far from its star it orbits. And that allows you to make an estimate of its possible temperature.
Interesting. So you're looking for something in the Goldilocks zone.
Those are, of course, the high prime things we're looking at.
Yeah.
And so Kepler itself, for 4 years, stared at one part of the sky. It found about 5,000 planet candidates.
You're kidding!
I'm not kidding.
That's a lot!
That's a lot. In one small part of the sky. And of those, many were the size of the Earth.
Wow. Now, I'm old enough to remember the headline, we found planets.
That's right.
And then I'm old enough to remember the headline, we found a Earth-like planet. Yeah. We have how many now?
5,000 planets. Now, not all Earth-like. But if you take that number and you take the number of planets the size of the Earth and say how many there would be in our entire galaxy, it's about 20 million planets.
In our galaxy alone.
In our galaxy alone.
20 million.
That would be similar, could be similar to our Earth.
Sufficiently similar to be a host for life.
Perhaps.
Well, if you've got 20 million, that means
that's
you've got a pretty good shot
that's
at it,
right? That's pretty good odds.
I mean, I'm sure nobody in your position is ever going to say, well, this definitely means anything. But it does sound like that's pretty good evidence that life, that at least the planet that we were born on is not unusual.
That's right. Yeah, it's not unusual. And
is that what you're trying to find
for
out?
For me, I would believe that there's clearly going to be other life in the universe.
Yeah, yeah. Is that the real goal of Kepler? What other things
It's certainly
things
one of the goals.
Out?
The other goal is to prepare for the next things that NASA wants to do.
They always are doing that,
right? So the next thing, the next big telescope is going to be the James Webb telescope that will be launched in a year or two. It's going to observe many things, but one of the things it will observe are planets that were discovered by Kepler and by the new version of Kepler, K2. These are going to be planets that orbit a star roughly in the habitable zone or the Goldilocks zone, planets that could have life, and it's going to be able to try to measure their atmospheres, measure the compositions of their atmospheres. So if you would find things like oxygen or chlorophyll or signs of pollution, that would be a good sign.
Wouldn't that be interesting?
That there would be life there.
If you saw burned hydrocarbons in the atmosphere, that'd be a sign something's going on.
That would be,
Wow.
Yeah.
So how long does Kepler have... you said it's not, I asked is if it was nuclear powered or solar powered. How long is it going to continue?
So it's it has, these are solar panels on the back. These are actually very important to the mission we're running now, K2, because we use them as a symmetry to balance the two remaining reaction wheels pressing against the pressure of the light of the sun. So the sunlight presses on these, and the two remaining good reaction wheels press against that, and that's how we operate the telescope now.
You're kidding.
And point it. No, it's pretty amazing.
Those must
to
be
do
very
that.
Small forces.
They are very small. The pressure of sunlight is the equivalent of two mosquitoes landing on a pool table.
And yet enough.
And yet enough.
To operate the telescope.
You're in space.
Right.
It's the only force you have.
Wow. Yeah. That's kind of amazing.
So it can run for about 2 more years, and then it
that's
will run
all.
Out of fuel. So it gets its power
the
from... The fuel is a gas called hydrazine, and it's used to maneuver the spacecraft and keep it pointed. It's used to keep it pointed directly at a certain field.
So you can't keep it oriented after a couple of years because you'll be out of
fuel. Right, we'll be out of fuel.
Out of hydrazine.
So the telescope will just be out there and
it'll still
forever.
Operate. There's still solar batteries are still going, but
that's
you just
right.
can't point it.
We can't point it, and then it'll start to tumble, and eventually these might not be pointed at the sun anymore, and it's all bad.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah. It's all bad.
How many years did you have, or will you have total?
Well, if it lasts for 2 more, the whole mission would have been 8 years.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot.
That's a lot of observation.
It was only supposed to be 3.5, so, you know.
Nice job.
Yeah, we did better.
And how much of the sky have you surveyed?
It'll be about 1/200th of the entire sky,
wow.
So not much. Not
but
much.
Still, you found a lot of planets out there.
And, you know, it just means they're everywhere. Everywhere
right.
you look. Every star you see probably has a planet.
Do you remember the first planet you saw? Was that a big day?
The first planet I saw, I think, was Venus.
No, no, I mean Kepler, not you, but I mean that
thank
you,
you
used.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. They're very funny. Yeah, I remember Venus.
Yeah, yeah.
She was a great planet.
Yeah. But no arms. I just
no arms. I know.
Get,
what
yeah.
can you? So the other night I saw Jupiter was like very bright. Wasn't it Jupiter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah
wow. I thought that was Venus
another
on the moon.
Planet. It might have been my second planet.
Could have been.
Yeah.
Probably was.
Yeah.
But I mean, what's the first planet Kepler saw, I guess?
Well, Kepler didn't, it doesn't just point at one star at a time. It points at about 150,000.
So you saw a lot of them at
we
once.
Saw lots of planets.
That must have been a good day.
It was a good day. It was a very good day.
Wow. Yeah. It worked.
Yeah, it did.
That's neat.
Cool.
Steve, it's a real pleasure meeting you, and congratulations. This
Thanks
was your
much.
Baby for 14 years. You've been working on this.
Yeah, it's a long time, yeah.
What's the next project for you? Do you know?
For me, the next project is going to be probably moving on to missions after this, looking for atmospheric stuff with JWST. Things
Fun.
Like that, trying to find signs of life.
Fun.
So maybe next time we'll talk, instead of just finding planets that are the size of the Earth, we'll be talking about finding atmospheres that are like ours.
You did find a new hot Jupiter.
Yeah, many of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gas giant.
I hate those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No life on them. Yeah. Although, we're kind of, that's kind of anthrocentric of us to assume that it has to be like our... Well, how
Absolutely.
Do you make... How do you... I mean, couldn't life exist any pretty much anywhere,
Well,
right?
Sure. I mean, we don't know. Earth, we find life in very strange places.
The Marianas Trench and...
Yeah. Hot springs that are too hot for us to live in and other places.
We can't be too anthropomorphic. We have to assume that there may be other life. But on the other hand, something that is looks like what we are used to is, I mean, we at least know life can exist there.
That's right. We do.
We think we're alive anyway.
We do.
So nice. Thank you. I really appreciate your time, Dr. Howell. Thank
cool.
you so
Thanks for having
much.
Me.
Steve Howell is from the NASA Ames Research Center, just down the road a piece, and the Kepler Project.
Yeah, so check us out. Send me some emails.
Is there a website? What's the website?
You can look up nasa.kepler.gov. That'll take you everywhere you want to go.
Fantastic.
Yep.
The new screensavers, we've gone to the dogs. Well, we're going to go to the dogs. Not just because of Marty and Steve, but... So Friday night, I came in Friday night and there was a party going on. But it turns out they were doing science.
That's often the case.
Ryan Burnett, testing... Well, watch.
Today I am taking a look at a breathalyzer. It comes in this little case. This is called the Alcomate Revo Alcohol Breathalyzer. It isn't cheap. It comes in at $229.95 on Amazon, but it is advertised as a police caliber breathalyzer. So we're going to take a shot, once every 10 minutes?
Yes, every 10 minutes.
Going over the hardware, it's pretty simple. It's one button to turn it on. What is nice about this breathalyzer is that you don't have to recalibrate it. So if I open up the back, where it's got two AAA batteries, and then this is the sensor module that you would replace after 1,000 uses or 1,000 tests, or you would replace it after the expiration date. There's like some little mechanism
it's very
that
fast.
Flips over.
I was going to say, the one fast. That I had that was on a keychain took a lot longer. Yeah,
so
zero.
We're zero. Okay.
Good to know.
Oh, we're also going to be playing Mario Kart in the background to make the time pass.
Yes, pass the time. Cheers.
Cheers.
Round one.
Smooth.
That was the best.
All right, so 10 minutes has gone
by.
Okay,
so we got to breathalyze.
It is thinking zero. It says zero.
Well, it was only one.
It's been 10 minutes.
It's been 10 minutes.
One shot.
0.15.
All right, so shot number two.
Shot number two.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Good. It's been another 10 minutes, so we're on shot number... We're going to be on shot number three.
Yes.
It's getting harder to remember.
It is getting harder to remember already.
So now we've got to test again. Oh,
ooh,
okay.
0.15, you're at where I was
0.5,
one shot ago, so let's see
okay.
how much I've gone up. 0.04.
So technically you're halfway.
I can still drive.
All right, time for our third shot.
All right.
Another 10 minutes has gone by. So this is our fourth test after three shots. Okay.
0.04. Okay, you've caught up with me. 0.06.
Shot number four.
Cheers.
Boop. Another 10 minutes, and then we'll breathalyze. This is our fifth test. We're
fifth
about
test.
To breathalyze.
Comment.
Oh, damn.
What did I
point
say?
0.087.
Oh, no, I said you would be like 0.06
be
something. Yeah.
So I am now
you
over
cannot
the legal
drive
limit.
Anymore. 0.098. Okay, so we both can't drive, which
9-1,
is probably
you're 9-8.
Obvious at this point.
So we're already over, but...
This is the second to last shot.
Second
I'm like,
to
I'm
last
looking
shot.
At the wrong camera now, too.
We still have to play through Mario Kart.
Can you stop?
It goes down smoother the more you go.
It does.
All right,
it's
so we're
loading.
On our final test.
All right, below... 0.13. Okay.
Does that sound fair?
I think so.
Okay. I'll try it. 0.104.
Okay. And I'm still winning with
that sounds 0.013. Fair.
I'm like, we should
only
finish
finished
the
it.
Bottle.
Cheers.
Cheers.
This is our sixth breathalyzer. This is our sixth breathalyzer
this
test.
This is our sixth breathalyzer test. And it looks like it's a 0.10.
over. Gotta finish the bottle.
0.146.
If you round up, it's a 0.15, so.
Well, this would be more of a challenge.
Oh! Yes! Final breathalyzer test.
Final breathalyzer test, which would, okay. Here's makes sense because piece. That was the reason why I was losing a Mario Kart.
It's not, but whatever makes you feel better.
And so, Leo, that concludes our test of the breathalyzer.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For your time.
Back to you in the studio tomorrow.
We did that for you, you know. You can't get drunk on Bowser beer. Ew. No, that if you had one that measured pork content, maybe. That's a porkalyzer.
Yeah.
Thanks to Akira and Brian for sacrificing themselves for that. We don't recommend you try that at home at all. Although we did verify that works. You did this once on Tech TV, right?
I did that very bit.
With Wild Turkey.
With the real CHP officer with his real thing. And yes, apparently they used Wild Turkey because we use Wild
That's
Turkey.
Right.
It was an homage.
To be scientific.
It was an homage. But you're saying that you drank a whole fifth of Wild Turkey and never blew more than
pouring? I drank a whole liter of Wild Turkey, if I recall. And you never blew over the legal limit. And the cop was so mad. He drove around the block that the studio was on and kept saying, Martin Sarge is an A. Martin Sarge is an A.
What, really?
Over the loudspeaker.
What?
Yeah.
That's kind of childish.
It's the police.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I think we should have had the CHP in here to protect. You guys did not drive home after that, right?
No, absolutely not. No.
Are we going to have...
Is there any left?
We had arranged things. Actually, I had run a little long. My wife was not very pleased
with
me.
What were you doing? Oh, I was just drinking with Kara for a segment.
Yeah, I was at work.
I think I pulled it off. I don't think she knew what I was up to.
Hi, honey. I'm home. All right. Well, please, kids, there's nothing funny about getting drunk. And certainly, even if you're under the legal limit, if you're tipsy, don't drive. No. That's just dangerous. Your reaction time goes down and it's not
No good. Texting.
Yeah, right. Don't text either. That's the Alcomate Premium. How much was that?
$229.
It's expensive. Yeah. But Kara, you said you had one on a keychain.
Yeah, my mom gave it to me.
Your mom gave it to you. So, Mom, this is what you need, right? Does it work, the one on the keychain? Yeah, all right. I had one of those, too, actually. It's time for a little doggy tech. You ready?
Oh, I'll be right.
All right. Joining us right now, Keith Miller. He is the co-owner of the Pampered Pooch Playground and the Bubbly Paws Dog Wash in Minnesota. Hello, Keith!
I noticed you guys have been loving the alcohol segments you're doing, correct?
Yeah, we've been drinking the Bowser beer. It's delicious, this Porky Pup Porter.
Right, did you get the other bottle I sent you?
The Dos Equis.
Yeah, we were trying to figure that one out.
I know you've been eyeing that.
Yeah. Does that have to do with pets?
It kind of. I mean, I just figured we'd just, you know, give you something cool to start off with. So look at the collar and leashes. You're thinking to yourself, hey, I don't have anything to open this bottle with, correct?
Right.
That's exactly what I'm thinking.
I know.
Oh, so it's got a bottle opener on it.
Collar and leash. So now you can have some more fun today.
Is that the intention? It is. It's the Pup Top bottle opener.
Yes, that's...
OMG. Who would ever think of making a leash and a collar with a bottle opener. That is crazy.
Thank you.
So to be even cooler with that, it's all recycled inner tube tires from bikes.
Oh, you know what? It's funny that you say that because that's you look in the back and you can see it is. And it feels nice and tough and strong. I mean, it really feels good.
It is.
Yeah.
And the cool thing is if you have like a lab or a dog that loves to jump in the water, that doesn't smell when it gets wet.
Nice.
So you're better. So, yeah, that was just something fun to send you guys. And you got the cool little collar, too. So if you want to put the collar on your dog's neck and crack a 40 open, go for it.
Yeah.
This is the
Earth.
Is that
why you call it Bubbly Paws?
Bubbly Paws.
It is. We thought of the name while drinking. So let's go.
Yeah. This is the Earth-Friendly Pet Company Cycle Dog Pup Top Bottle Opener No Stink Post-Consumer Recycled Rubber Dog Leash and Collar. Thank you very much. Yeah, that is awesome.
Hippie place out of Oregon. And yeah, but now let's start with like the techie stuff.
Yes, we have. Now, I have to say, we got the Whistle Pet Tracker. Mm-hmm. This is a GPS-based pet tracker. And, you know, we've looked at these because we've lost our cats in the past. And it was very, you know, it's emotionally difficult. Paris wandered off, and for 10 days she was lost. We found her on the neighbor's roof. She survived. But if we had only had some sort of pet tracker.
Yeah, yeah.
But I look at this and I think, I'm not going to be able to put that on a cat. In fact, it almost seems too big for Ozzy, who's only 8 pounds. Also, it doesn't come with a collar. So how do you put this in a collar here?
So it actually stays pretty sturdy to the collar. I put one on just a collar we have here. It actually has a rubber piece that goes on the back.
Through it. I see.
It snaps on, and you know, it's hard to get off. I mean, if you've got a dog that's over probably 25 pounds, it's great. You know, actually, one of our employees was asking the same question about her cat because it gets out all the time. And I'm like, you know what? I don't think cats are big enough. Right.
But for a lab or anything, you know, anything over, you said 20 pounds, I think you're right. I think that'd be fine. And it is a true GPS, right?
It is. It's a true GPS. It actually works off a cellular network. I believe it's either Sprint or T-Mobile. I was trying it on our dog last week for probably about 4 days. And it also has a built-in Fitbit-type activity monitor. So you sign up and you set your dog's activity level. And her goal was to be active for 30 minutes every day. And somehow we were able to achieve that. But we also tracked her a few times. And I'd say about 85% of the time it worked great.
So does it pull up a map? If I go to the Whistle website, it'll actually show where the dog is on a map?
Yeah, if you go to the Whistle website, you can actually look it up on the map.
Oh, look at that. Is this Roxy yours?
That is Roxy, our dog.
Oh, that's neat. Okay.
Yeah, so she's 10 years old. You know, her goal is to be active for about 30 minutes a day.
Right.
You know, what we have learned is it's a decent toy. I'd say 80 to 95% effective. If you're in a building, the GPS obviously doesn't always work. I tried to track it a few times when we were at one of our stores, and it couldn't connect to the collar. But I think if you're in a populated area, I think it works great.
And how long is the battery life on this?
You know, I've gone about 3 days with it.
Oh, so that's pretty good.
When you're at home, it also connects to your base station.
Right.
So it's not using the GPS signal there, but when you're out of your house, it's obviously using more of the GPS, which also drains the battery a lot faster.
Right, right. Now, that was one thing that sent me back a little bit. It's $70, which is not bad.
No, I mean,
but you pay a monthly subscription fee.
Right. So the monthly subscription is between $6 and $10, depending on which plan you want to go with.
Right. But now that you mentioned it's using a cell network, I understand why, because you have to pay for the cell service.
Right. Yeah. You know, I think if you've got like a lab or something that's digging to get out of the house a lot, I think it's a great thing to find them, you know, knowing that there's a 95% chance that it's going to work.
Have you looked at other GPS trackers?
You know, there was another big one that was out there that actually Whistle bought. So they both off the same company now, same app.
It's kind of like an ankle bracelet for your dog.
Yeah. If your dog is on home arrest.
That's our kind of house arrest.
Yeah.
If you think about it.
You know, I'll let you out.
They get about a half hour of recreation time.
You're on recreation furlough. Anyways. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Put it around your ankle and see what happens.
Now, we tried the Pet Cube. Actually, we've got it set up in Lisa's office. This is a camera that has, there it is, has a microphone and a speaker in it. And a laser, which is kind of fun. Tell us about the Pet Cube.
So the Pet Cube's kind of cool. It was super easy to set up. It works off of, you know, 2.5 gigahertz Wi-Fi. And it's fun. You know, I was talking to our dog yesterday. You could hear her ears perk up a little bit when you would say her name, Roxy. Plus, you can move the laser pointer around with your finger. She didn't really respond to the laser pointer, but it's a cool little gimmick. I think the only thing it's missing is the ability to pan or tilt the camera, just because obviously you've kind of had to put it on something to shoot down better, too.
Yeah. We have, Brian, did you get the video that Lisa sent you of Ozzy?
Yeah.
Do you have that there? So it's kind of fun, but I have to say, yeah, there's Ozzy sleeping. Now we're talking to him.
That must freak the dog out.
And he's looking and going, well, and there's the laser. See the laser, the little red dot there on his foot? He went back to sleep. He's like, I know I hear a voice. Finally, our son came and said, Ozzy, they're talking to you. Then he got excited.
I did scare the crap out of my wife by saying Roxy's name over and over and over.
Yeah,
and she didn't know where the voice was coming from.
It's good for bothering humans, but I have yet to get Ozzy to respond to my voice. I guess because it's tinny. Dogs aren't stupid. Right. They can tell I'm not really there, right?
Did you see the warning on the back, too? Danger, no. Laser radiation, too?
Oh, that's nice. So you have to tell your cat not to look into the laser.
Right, and right. It says don't point it at eyes, which, you right. know. Well, I think it's a cool webcam, though. I think it's kind of neat. You know, just a fun little accessory that, you know, you need for your dog.
It does have a great picture, and you can use it to monitor with your phone and get a decent picture. Mm-hmm. You can talk. You can listen. And
you can also set up, like, access control so that, you know, you can have, like, right. members of your family or friends set up so that but not everybody's able to log yeah. in.
And this isn't super expensive.
No.
Do
you think the pets really like it? Or do you think they just... They just get really confused.
Hell if I know.
Like, yeah. Ozzy like didn't. Ozzy, it just. I don't think he really. I don't think he understood the cats. Like the completely laser ignored thing. It.
Like that just drives a cat crazy.
Right. If you. But they want to play with a human. They don't want to play with a strange box that's making laser pointing things.
Well, they don't know the difference.
I think they do. I beg to differ.
That cat doesn't know where that laser's coming from.
I can see a cat loving the laser pointer.
Well, our cats ignored it completely.
I can't see a dog reacting to it.
No, dogs aren't interested in laser pointers for some reason. I don't know why. At least ours isn't. Now, this one I like, except it has a fatal flaw, the smart feeder. We're thinking of taking a vacation. And we were thinking of getting one of these. Tell us about the smart feeder, Keith.
So it's a PetNet smart feeder that can hold, you know, about 5 to 7 pounds of dry kibble. And it also says, you know, not for dogs over 50 pounds. So obviously for your dog, it's going to be great.
Yeah, that's plenty of food for Ozzy for a few days, yeah.
Right. You know, you can control it over Wi-Fi. So if you're at work, hey, I forgot to feed the dog, I can just, you know, hit a button and it feeds. And it also sends you a confirmation, you know, push notification that, hey, your dog just ate.
Right. Oh,
so
that's good.
It also connects to the bowl so it knows how much they ate, which is kind of cool. It reminds you, you know, if you're working hard or long hours, it's a great accessory for the dogs.
But you work with dogs and you pointed right. out a potential problem here.
Yeah.
Not for the big guys.
My cat could hack into that.
Exactly. And they're not right. dumb. Again, there's food. It's coming out of that. And they get in there, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, dogs aren't stupid. I guarantee you any lab or any food-motivated dog is going to get into that in about 10 seconds once yeah. it realizes that food keeps coming out.
Right.
There Does must it work be more with in wet there. Food?
No, no, it doesn't. I actually look because that's what we feed our dog, and it's dry food only. So, yeah. I mean, the 7 pounds, I mean, that's, you know, for the average dog, that's probably about 2 or 3 days of
yeah.
food.
It's not going to keep your dog for a week.
No, you're going to work. You want to feed your dog lunch.
Now, this is one I really want for Ozzy. He barks a little bit more than I would like. And the only thing I've seen is like an electric shock collar. I'm
right.
not going to do that to him.
Well, how does this?
So it's actually a bark control app that you put on your phone. It's, you know, an iPhone app,
yeah.
And it senses the bark or pretty much any loud noise, and it lets off like an ultrasonic sound.
Like one of those really high-pitched things that the kids use to bother adults?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Dogs yeah. must love that.
Actually, adults use it to bother kids, yeah. Dogs hear it?
You know, we tried it at our doggy daycare, and after, you know, extensive testing, we've learned that it works well with the littler dogs.
It does.
Like, with pointy ears.
Okay, Ozzy's got pointy ears. Like, the right. dogs that can really hear.
Right. Like, you know, Minpins, Corgis, anything that has, like, the little tip that just
yeah,
goes
Ozzy's
straight
up. Yeah, Ozzy's a Papillon. He could definitely hear
right.
that. Yeah.
You know, for the bigger dogs, like a Lab or like a Golden, they didn't even get fazed by it. They yeah. just kind of looked at it. They're
What's
like, okay,
that
you know what?
Sound? It's so annoying.
Right.
So it's called, what is this called, Bark Control?
Yeah, it's the Bark Control app. There's a free and a paid version. If you do the free version, you do get a bunch of ads that come on it. But if you do the paid version, you get rid of the ads. I think it's like $3. You know, download the free one first, try it, see if it works, and then go from there.
All right. Finally.
Yeah.
Finally,
you
walk
try
your.
That?
I am going to try it. I'm going to try it on you.
You don't think?
I think it's kind of cool if you've got a neighbor dog that's barking a lot. I mean, hey, you know what?
Idea.
It makes you feel good to press a button, right?
Right. At least you'll feel better.
I've also learned that you can bark really loud by yourself, and it'll also go off. So
really, really,
it does because you can actually see the screen changes color when you use it.
Oh, my ears! All right. Finally, I like this. Walk your dog and help rescue dogs. This is a free app.
Yeah, it's a great app. You know, you can download it. It's iTunes, Android. Yeah. basically what you do is you sign up and you pick a different rescue. You know, you can do one in your area or like a nationwide, like Humane Society or different ones like that. And basically you just leave the app open and it basically just pops up banner ads, and that's how they make money off the app. Nice. So just leave it open, walk your dog. It calculates your, you know, how far you've gone, and that rescue gets a little bit of money for basically doing nothing.
Oh, like Ozzy right there, not doing anything.
Right.
He's very good at that. He's the king.
Did you
of
give
not...
him some of the doggy beer, or why is he passed out right now?
Ooh, hey, should we try him? Yeah. All right, let's see. Come here. Let's.
You know, you can get custom doggy beer bottles too, by the way, with his picture on it, if you really want.
Oh, that'll
it.
Make him happy.
You right.
Want some? Come on. No, you want it. It's got pork.
Oh, Ozzy.
It's pork flavored. Go get it. Here, let me put a little bit in my hand. See if he'll drink it.
Is he more of a martini dog?
I think so. He's not a beer drinker. Oh, baby. Daddy, come to... do you have the breathalyzer?
You can call him an Uber to get home, too, while you're at it.
He likes it. Taste you want some more? Yeah. Is this good? This isn't bad. This is not going to make him drunk or anything.
I don't think so. I mean, I've tried it, too.
Well, that's reassuring. No, there's no alcohol in it. It tastes like bouillon.
It's like chicken broth, pumpkin, glucosamine. Yeah. I mean, it's nothing that's going to get them drunk. We actually have some of our customers that'll freeze it like in ice cube trays and put it like in a Kong, like a night treater. If a dog's finicky with their food, it also works really well.
I'm going to give them some more. That's great. Thank you.
Right. And, there you go.
There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, from the Bubbly Paws Dog Wash
Minnesota.
You can see the Bubbly Paws right behind him, and he's the co-owner of the Pampered Pooch Playground. It's Keith Miller. Keith, you suggested this, and I think this is a great bit, and I'm glad you came on. And if you come up with some more stuff, we'll get you back, and we'll talk more about it.
Okay, we'll do doggy wine next time. Sorry.
Doggy wine. Hey.
Doggy wine. We'll do that next time.
All right. Thank you, Keith.
Cool. Have a good day, you guys.
Take care. Bye-bye. Do you have a pet?
I got two cats.
Yeah, cats are a little
Bird
easier.
Bird and Gilly.
Bird?
Bird. Bird got her name because when she was a little cat, she used to sit on your shoulder like a parrot.
Oh,
so cute. Now she's so cute.
We're gonna we've got Ozzy, and we have two cats, Samantha and Paris, or Sammy and Perry, and we've decided to get a boy. Right, we're getting a boy. Right, we're getting a boy cat. Anthony Nielsen's raising a orange tabby, named Hamilton.
Hamilton.
So it'll be Sammy, it's Perry, and Hammy. Right now, Sammy and Hammy and Perry. I think it'll be good. Yeah. Two girls and a boy, and a dog, and me. It's not good. All right. You ready for some final questions for them? Can you believe the show's already over?
No, I can't.
Yeah.
Where's
the mailbag?
We need to help people.
Ah!
That's not helping.
Ah! Here you go, Marty. No dog beer in here, but a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I shall read one, too. Go ahead, start.
My wife has an Android tablet. She uses Songsa. She finds it very repetitive. What music services should I be looking at for her? There are so many to choose from. PC Mag just did a feature on this, actually.
What do you listen to? I don't want to know what you listen to.
I listen to an AM/FM radio.
You're such a hipster.
NPR, you know.
It's
that
free.
Kind of
it comes in over the radio.
But my wife is really into Spotify.
I like
she
Spotify,
loves
too.
Spotify. Yeah.
See, the nice thing is if Molly has a playlist and she says, oh, I love this, this, and this,
she
can share it with me, and I can have Molly's playlist, which I love.
No, I don't like the $9.99 I see on the...
It's $10 a month. Yeah,
it's $10 a month. I say, do you ever use this thing?
Well...
Yeah, I use it when I go to the gym. You don't go to the gym either. That's $60 a month. So as far as I'm concerned, Spotify costs me $70 a month.
Someday I'll go to the gym, and then you'll
Slacker Radio.
Then you'll be sorry.
This is the one PC Mag recommended. That's $3.99 a month.
That's cheap.
Have you tried it?
No, I haven't tried Slacker. No.
Slacker.
Well, I've used it for podcasts. I didn't realize they also had music. I like Google Play Music a lot. Now, Songsa was purchased by Google Play. So even though Songsa is free, if you use Google Play Music, and we have the family plan, which is $15 for up to 5 people. That makes it a good deal. And Songs is included. So one of the things I like about Songs is you could say, I'm looking for workout music, and I want to, you get choices. You can narrow it down a little bit. Or it's Wednesday afternoon, I want to relax, and it'll give you radio stations around moods as opposed to around artists, and I do enjoy that. But one of the things I love about Spotify, and tell Molly about this, is the Discover Weekly Playlist. Does she know about that?
She may.
Every Monday, they create a new playlist based on music you like, and it's refreshed every Monday. It's got about 20 songs on it. And I love it because it's about discovering new music. So it has some of the music I know and love mixed in with other music that's they say, oh, if you like that, you would like this. And I think it's a really great playlist. I really enjoy
it. There's another, too. If you have Amazon Prime, you could do Prime Music.
It's free.
Music,
yeah. Right?
I have friends who swear by Tidal.
Yeah. We don't mention Tidal that much.
I think it's
CD quality.
Jay-Z and I have a beef.
Oh, do you?
Yes, we do.
Yeah. You want to talk about it?
No, I don't.
Did you see Lemonade?
No.
Oh, my God. Beyonce's new music video? Or it's actually more like an hour-long documentary. It's amazing. You haven't seen this? It's about her and Jay-Z.
Everyone's
apparently, he was fooling around on her. And so it starts off, she's very angry. She goes through the stages of anger, denial, and acceptance at the end. It's an amazing piece. Highly recommend it. Molly's probably seen it. Does she like Bay?
I don't know. Probably paid $10 for it.
Probably. Well, you know, I thought that was interesting marketing because it was exclusive streaming on Tidal. Yeah, HBO had it. Although I looked and you can't see it on demand. Like, you could only watch it that one time.
Beyonce is really smart about it.
She's very smart. And then Tidal, who's her husband's service, maybe this tells you something about their relationship. It was an exclusive to Tidal, and then one day later, she's selling it on iTunes. I don't know about that conversation that came out. Let me show you. Let's just see what my Discover Weekly playlist is this week. See, it puts your picture on it and everything. Rocket Man by Elton John. Okay. What? Yeah, it's a dolphin kissing me. You got a problem with that? Oh. I think the Supreme Court said that's okay.
Weird.
I believe so. Running on Empty, Jackson Brown, which both of those songs I love. Then Bad Luck by Social Distortion. Then Paul McCartney, Band on the Run. I know that one. Then Solomon Burke, never heard of him. Frank Zappa, Camarillo Brillo, great song. Eric Clapton, Cocaine. I think they know something about me. Knights in White Satin by the Moody Blues. Tucker Band, Can't You See, Blinded by the Light. No, yeah, these are all kind of oldies. They mix it up, though, because sometimes I get, like, instrumental music, classical music. They really mix it up. So they generate a new one of those every Monday.
That's cool.
I love that. All right, I got a question. This is from... Anyway, there's some recommendations. And you came up with the cheap ones, which is Slacker Radio.
Slacker.
And Amazon Prime's free.
If you already pay for Prime. Free. And everyone should have Prime.
Yeah, why not?
I think.
If you buy it,
if you buy
Amazon.
Exactly.
It's a great deal. Sai writes, longtime fan of Twit from India. Hi, Sai. Thank you. Looking to replace my aging Windows laptop. I'm looking at the newly launched Acer Chromebook. I'm a huge fan of Chromebooks. Huge fan. One issue I have is all my passwords are on 1Password. Is there any way to access password managers from a Chromebook? Are there any password managers that support Chrome OS natively? Thanks for the help. Absolutely. I use LastPass, which anything that works with a plugin, which, by the way, 1Password does. Oh, 1Password may not. It requires, doesn't it? Yeah, it requires you run the app on your PC or Mac when you have the plugin. So you know what? Get LastPass. LastPass works pure Chrome plugin. And it works great on a Chromebook. I use it all the time. In fact, it works great on anything that has Chrome on it, including Linux or Chromium. So I highly recommend that.
You know, you wouldn't have gotten yourself into this pickle if you just use the same password for everything like I do. What's
your password?
My password is top secret.
Uh-huh. But no, but what is it?
It's top secret.
The password itself?
It's top, yeah.
That's kind of pathetic. So... he's talking about this new Acer Chromebook, which I'm very excited about. It's all aluminum, top secret. I know he's joking. It's Monkey 123 like any other sensible person.
Monkey.
This is the new Acer. Have you? Father Robert gets a lot of Acer stuff. Have you seen this yet, Father Robert? They just released this. $299. I'm very excited about it. It's all aluminum. This is a beautiful computer, and the Chromebook is more secure. It's not as powerful as a general purpose computer's. But in many ways, have you played with this yet? Did they show it at NAB?
Know-how.
Huh?
On know-how.
You're going to do it on know-how? Do you have it with you right now? Oh, I'd love to see this. I really am excited about this. I'm really excited about it. The new Acer Chromebook. What is he doing? Is he dancing? Acer aluminum, all aluminum Chromebook.
How much
15.
Is that?
starts at $299. That's $299.
Really, that's all I need.
It's all most people need. It's all most people need.
There's a word processor.
You can use Google Docs.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's all I need.
I think people, you know, for a long time, you had to buy a general-purpose computer if you were going to do computing. And along with that, all the complexity, the security issues, the hassles, the bugs, you don't need that anymore. You can buy something that's much simpler that'll do everything you want without all of that.
You know what? I knew that. I knew it. But I still spent $1,700
on a Martin book.
MacBook.
No, you have the Martin book.
The Martin book.
I Martin. Yeah, I don't know why. Nowadays, I really wonder why people are buying Windows and Mac. When Chromebook, for most people, if it's email, browsing,
feel
WordPress.
Pretty stupid.
No. You like
back.
That. Is this brand new?
Yeah, it's pretty new.
You like it?
Actually, it's buggy.
Yeah, well, that's what I like about
to get
the Chromebook.
This back.
Yeah. So, Martin Sargent, are you doing anything we can plug for you?
No, it's embarrassing. I'm doing this. That's about it.
You don't get out much anymore.
I'm giving away free autographs.
After the show. Stay tuned.
So you can ask for one at Martin Sargent.
All right.
Please ask for one.
Ask for one. Is that your Twitter handle? Beautiful. God, is he dreamy. Isn't he dreamy? Television's Martin Sargent. He's dreamy.
Could have been someone. Now look at me.
You look the same.
Where I am.
You haven't aged one day. That's the thing that's depressing to me. You look great.
Thank you
so much for being here.
Yeah, it was great. Thank you, everyone.
Next week again, Kate Patello. We continue the old timers.
Tell her I said hi.
Yeah, I will.
Good.
I will. Yeah. Thanks. Miss Kate. I haven't seen her in a decade, probably.
Was that by web? Because she
came on our first show. She was here on a Skype, but I haven't actually seen her in the flesh in.
Okay.
It must be 10 years. It's been a long time, yeah. She eloped with Ray Slikinski. Remember from our...
Ray Weigel.
Weigel. That's a different guy.
Slikinski.
Ray Weigel. I don't know who Slikinski is. I was trying to remember Ray's last name. Weigel. He was one of the lab rats.
You remembered Slikinski. You couldn't remember Weigel.
I'm sorry, Ray. God, Ray, I apologize. Ray Weigel, one of our lab rats. Really sweet guy. Yeah, they ran off to Michigan together.
Well... That's what lovers do.
That's what happens. Hey, we do this show every Saturday afternoon at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 2200 UTC if you want to join us live. If you want to be in our studio audience, really great audience today. A lot of fans.
Yeah.
Yeah. Email tickets at twit.tv. We'll make sure there's a place for you to sit. And, of course, if you can't be here in person or watching on the stream or in the chat room at irc.twit.tv, there's always on-demand audio and video of everything we do at twit.tv. In this case, twit.tv/NSS for New Screen Savers. And we now have 51 shows there. But do subscribe. That way you'll get it each and every week. You can subscribe in any podcatcher, Slacker. You can do it on Slacker. You can do it on the Twit apps that are on every platform. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next time. On the New Screensavers. Bye-bye, everybody!
Thank you.